With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi everybody, welcome to Following On. We've got so much to talk about. We're going to be with you for an hour today and try to cover everything that's happened in the most extraordinary 830 balls, the shortest completed test match since the Second World War. It's gone India's way by the massive margin of 10 wickets. A reminder, England 112 and 81 in their two innings, India 145 and 49 for no wicket. Rohit Sharma played some nice strokes there to be unbeaten with 25 at the end of it. It's very hard to not feel sad for the game that something finishes so soon. We were all looking forward to this cricket match and a stiff and fascinating contest between England and India over in India in those testing Indian conditions. The debates will rage about the quality of the pitches in the last two matches. There was a fallout to the pitch in the first test, the one that England won. That got a lot worse as it went on. But that was more Indian-like. This one has gone really from the off, and that's why it's opened such strength of opinion. Our whole team will be involved in this next hour. We'll also doubtless hear from some of the players over in India. We're trying to fix those interviews now. Let's begin. We've only got Kevin Peterson with us for one test, unfortunately. He's off to do other things. I think you're going back onto the field of play in India in the coming days. Is that correct?
Not in Ahmedabad.
No. I hope it doesn't turn. I'll be looking to see how many runs he gets every single day.
I'm 40 and I've retired very comfortably, thank you, Darren.
There's been quite a disagreement in here, I have to say, about the quality of the pitch, but with a basic summary being that KP thinks it's a difficult pitch, but it's typical of India, and you've got to man up a bit and learn to play in the conditions. And
correct.
Yes, it's by no means a good pitch.
No.
Goffey's view is that it's just a very bad pitch and below standard and, you know, just mustn't happen for Test cricket in general. So we'll deal with all that. Let's just, first of all, go back to the, you know, try to trace the journey of the match. Because the truth is, guys, and let's start with you, Goffey, England didn't bat well enough yesterday, having won the toss. And that is the root of all evil for them in this match.
Well, it is. And it's easy for us to look back now, but people questioned, didn't they? We said one captain's got it horribly wrong. When the team selection came in, England made four changes. They decided to go with a dominant seam attack with only one spinner in Jack Leach. We found out later, but Joe Root was going to be that second spinner, as kind of all expected. But to get that opportunity to bat after the start we had with Zach Crawley playing some wonderful shots, and then with that partnership with Joe Root, I just thought we might get a decent total. But we had that collapse, didn't we? We've got a long, long tail there, starting really at Jofra Archer, Stuart Broad, Jack Leach and Jimmy Anderson. 112, when it comes down to it, batting first in any test match, in any conditions, is not good enough, whether it's seaming or whether it's spinning. So that's where they fell short, and that's where the rest of the game took place from there. 112, just not good enough.
Zach Crawley made 53, but as KP has pointed out, almost exclusively against the seamers. Joe Root, 17, Ben Foulkes, 12, and Jofra Archer, 11. They were the only men to get double figures in that 112. And Akshar Patel finished with 6 for 38. Steve Harmison, Akshar Patel is a serious bowler. Accurate, confident, and rips it.
He does rip it, and that's the issue because of the angle he bowls from round the wicket to the right-hander. He's a little bit more sort of round-arm than possibly what Jadeja is. So he takes the ball towards leg stump, and then Yasir rips it back past off stump. And the ones that caused all the problems are the ones that just kept on going with the arm. LBW in bold is huge dismissals in this series, and it was a fantastic bit of bowling, not just by Patel, but by R. Ashwin as well. So there's been a lot of talk about the team selection, whether who got it right, who got it wrong, whether the pitch was of test match standard. At the end of the day, the team that won the game was the one that played better cricket all round. And I think that that predominantly happens when a test match is finished, that the team that plays the best tends to win. And I think India played better cricket than England on that surface.
Do you think, guys, let's deal with the pitch, because it's a massive issue. I've just been having a chat with Mark Butcher off air, and Butch is very certain in his mind that it's a poor pitch. We have to decide what we think about cricket finishing so quickly. We want to, we don't always get 5-day matches, but there's a great pleasure in test match cricket. We have to keep justifying its relevance in a modern world where it's threatened by so many other things. We don't want necessarily every match to last 5 days. We certainly don't want an imbalance in favour of the bat, because that can lead to some pretty dull cricket. But would even you, Kev, agree that the balance was too much in favour of the ball here?
Would we be saying the same thing if England had won this test match?
Yes, I think we would.
No, you wouldn't.
Absolutely, we would.
You'd be sitting here now and we'd talk for an hour on how rubbish the wicket was and this and that. No, you wouldn't.
I said it on day one when England still had a chance of winning. It was only 2 days in.
If England had won,
but I said it at start last night.
Just wait, easy, guys.
If England had won this test match, there is no way you'd be sitting here now just hammering this wicket.
Butch doesn't agree. Grab the mic, Butch. You think there would be, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying how bad a pitch it was when India lost 7 for 31 this morning. I mean, listen, I have no issue with the ball turning. I have none whatsoever. But we've got a 130,000-seater stadium that they've spent untold millions on, that could have been spent on anything. And we've just had less than 2 days of test match cricket. And if I know that there are pressures brought to bear in everybody's jobs in all walks of life, but if I were a groundsman and I'd been responsible for the second pitch in Chennai and this pitch here, I'd be embarrassed to show my face at the end of year Christmas party for groundsmen, because they were shockers. If the ball is going through the surface from the first over of the first day, something that should happen as you get into the afternoon of day four in test matches, then I'm afraid it's not good enough. I don't care whether it spins, seams, whatever. That's poor.
Through the surface.
There was dust.
There was nothing dangerous about this wicket.
I'm not. Who's to say anything about danger? All I'm saying is that the surface. But there wasn't one.
But that's what the ICC looks at. If your wicket is dangerous, that's when you start to look at deducting points. There was nothing dangerous about this.
Okay, fine. If everybody is happy that you can underprepare pitches to the degree where the match could last anywhere between, the only reason the second test in Chennai went to 4 days was because India batted second. The match was over as a contest on the afternoon.
And if they batted first?
If they'd batted first, we'd have a very similar... Sorry, they did bat first. If England batted first this time, meaning that, if India had been batting... Where are we now?
It's hard because it's a day and a half.
Yeah. It's a game and a day and a half.
England won the toss and batted here.
India won the toss and batted here. In the first test match, the game was over when India made 320. And I was there. I saw the pitch before a ball was bowled on it. It was designed to fall apart on first contact. And the only, India were always going to bat again, no matter how big their lead was on that first innings. As it happened, they were 200 ahead or 195 ahead. And so we had a day pretty much where India batted again, getting 400 or so runs. And England batting second still didn't make the total that England made in the first innings. The game was designed, that pitch was designed to last for 2 days, 2.5 days tops, the same as this one.
But Kev, just give me absolute clarity on this. You don't think it's this instance, it's too much in favour of ball over bat?
No, of course there was. Right. I mean, you have a look at the numbers. You just have to have a look at the numbers. Yes, there was definitely an overriding ball wins over bat in this test match. But it's a one-off. Two teams played on exactly the same pitch. They batted. They both
batted on
day one.
Well, it's not a one-off because we've had it two matches in a row, surely.
What, that a test match finished in a day and a half?
No, no, no. But there's been the balance has been too much in favour of the ball.
A balance, yes. Okay, babe, yes.
That's right. However, I'm
sure.
Just
and I think
but
you
you're in the subcontinent. When you go to Perth, what dominates there?
Can you make a call about what the surface is designed to do and how it plays and remove the result from it? This is all I'm saying. I don't care who won or lost on this. I'm saying that
India's all about winning.
Objectively, but we're not playing in the game. I have no skin in the game. I don't care who wins. Objectively, that is a poor surface. Remove the result from it. Remove it entirely from the argument. Objectively, that is a poor surface, as was the last one. And I would have said exactly the same thing if England had won both test matches. Because objectively, they are not good. So they've not been prepared properly.
Right. Okay, guys. You two want Guffey, Palmy? Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, well, I'm loving listening to those two batsmen actually disagreeing. I think it's great. But I think for me, when we talk about aspiring youngsters all around the world, they want to see the best players batting. They've not got that opportunity. We've seen a test match here, which has finished in under 2 days. Some of the best players in the world. We're talking about India being the best test team in the world. Rohit Sharma.
Rohit Sharma's not a great test match player. Rohit Sharma's just come back into the
team. Have you
seen him? No. I've been Rohit Sharma's greatest advocate. I work on the Indian television. And I've worked there for 10 years, almost 10 years now.
He's averaging 70 since 2019, they drop
him,
like that.
They drop him, he comes back in, they drop him. He is a great white ball player.
Since he's opened the button, he's delivered.
He's always opened. He's only just come back into the test team, right? But he's in and out. He's not a great test player. The only great test player in that team is Virat Kohli. The only great test batsman in our team is Joe Root.
Well, that's your opinion.
Two out of 22. Okay. Tell me who else is great in the England batting line.
Well, I'm just saying, Kev, when you're looking at greats in an England team, right, I know they're not batsmen, but you've got Stuart Broad, he's a great. Jimmy Anderson's a great. Ben Stokes, in another 3 years, what he's achieved already, would go down as a great England player. Joe Root will go down as one of the best three or four batsmen ever in an England shirt. So we've got players in there that tells us we're a good side. We should be a good side. 112 all out and 81 all out on that in them conditions. Now, I'm not saying I don't want the ball to turn, which I do, Mark. I want the ball to turn on day three, late on day four. We all expect it. I've toured these places and played in tests where it's a battle, bat and ball early on. You've got to be at your best if you're a fast bowler. If you're not, the spinners come into play. They can tighten it. They can make it hard for the batsman to score, create some pressure. The captaincy's got to do something brilliant. What has the captain had to do there? What's Virat Kohli had to do? I'll tell you what he's had to do. There you go, Akshar Patel. You bowl one end. There you go, Ashwin. You bowl the other. Game will be over in no time.
But that's ridiculous. Yeah, but Root couldn't do that because he chose Broad, Anderson and Archer to win a game for them in India.
Do you know why? Because he's got 10 different people telling him he should pick.
That doesn't... So who makes the decisions?
That's going to be the next subject. We're coming to that. On the subject of England's batting, there's only one player averages over 40, and that's Root. So I think he's the only great player.
England have only got one great batsman.
One batsman in that team.
And that, you know how close and how much I like Ben Stokes.
When we won in India.
He's going to be a very, very good all-rounder. But just to put my two penneth in, it'll be short, which is not usual for me. But you're talking about, Kev, you're talking about skill level. England playing skill on spin. And I would get that and I would agree with you if India had got 300 in the first innings, and England got bowled out twice cheaply. Then skill level comes into it. But when an Indian side in the first innings is getting bowled out for 145, that tells me, especially against Leach and Root, that tells me there was too much in the first innings on a day one pitch. There's too much to level towards the ball rather than
in
the bat.
In Indian conditions, who's the better team?
Oh, India. Of course they're India. Yeah, England will be the same when it comes in 5 days.
Thank you.
But what I'm trying to say is, your point you're making is skill. England, India, the better
team.
Who's
more skillful?
Yes, India. But what I'm trying to say is, if they got 300, then I'd say, yes, I'll back you. But they got 145 against somebody who doesn't really turn it that much in Joe Root, and Jack Leach is England's frontline spinner. That for me floors any argument that there is more that the bat, you know, skill level, because it's day one.
But you just said they're more skillful.
Yeah, they're more skillful, but they've got 145. Yeah, 145. That's not skillful. Yeah, 145 in the first innings of any test match should in theory lose.
I just want to final question. We don't need a long answer. The only point I'm interested in now, because I think we've really done this well, is Would you agree that Test matches finishing in just over five sessions is really not the right, the best thing for the game?
Yes, because it doesn't test your character. And we play Test match cricket where for 5 days you had to grind it out. I've said as a one-off, this was entertaining. I don't want to see it in Test 4.
Okay, very good. Thank you. England selection. And Kevin, you've been very strong in your view that they're messing with the side during a series against India that is potentially career defining for each player and certainly for the name of the team. So we talk about Alistair Cook's side in India, Tony Gregg's side in India and David Gower's side in India that win. And we have to have sympathy here. We have to understand that bubble life is very difficult in the time of COVID and that there are all sorts of reasons in a very busy year of cricket for England in all formats of the game that these decisions have been made. Having said that, we would say that they haven't been made correctly. They've been made for the right reasons, but not necessarily with the right planning. Is that fair?
Yeah. Well, are we letting white ball dominate our selections? Is Owen Morgan getting all the power to decide what team he has for certain series rather than Joe Root getting the team he wants to win a test series in India? I'm with Kev on this. When he's talking about going to India and Australia, they're the biggest two tours for a test player to test your character and to test your skill levels. And England have not had the opportunity to play their best team in India. If I were Joe Root, the captain, I'd be absolutely livid. He's captain of his country. If he loses this series, he would have lost it 4-0. I'll guarantee you now there would have been loads of journalists out there saying Joe Root's not a good enough captain. Get him out. Get someone else in. Because results, in football, a football team loses, the manager gets sacked. In cricket, a cricket team loses, the coach don't get sacked. The chairman of selectors don't get sacked. The director of cricket don't get the sack.
Yep.
He gets the sack, Joe Root. Yep. And that's why I'd be livid, livid if I was Joe Root, because Owen Morgan's getting all the best players to play a little series in India when it's much bigger, this test series against India.
Well, I can certainly ask Joe Root that question when we get him. I might say it's come from you. But it, very interesting. Okay, so Dom Bess, you know, is on the sidelines. Do we understand or at least surmise that the decisions on the team were taken because they don't think Bess is in either the right frame of mind or in good enough form to play? Because if he was, wouldn't he have played?
I think that that's a question that you've got to ask Joe Root when you get Joe Root. We are not to know what happens inside their dressing room. We're not to know what happens inside their hotel. We can only surmise, and that would probably be the assumption that we'd all take. However, that's something that you need to ask Joe Root. And I don't know whether you get an honest answer. But, yeah, it's certainly not been the best team that England have picked. And I think there is a favour, and I think there is power. From the players. The players have got power. There have been headlines where Chris Silverwood has said, we can't stop the players from going to the IPL. We can't do this. The players are this. The players are that. So the players are starting to dictate a hell of a lot now to Ashley Giles.
But you looked to dictate when you had the chance to. You were very keen to play at the IPL. You wouldn't knock that, would you?
I would not knock that at all. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that that's what's happening at the moment. However, I was never, ever one to say, hold on a second. No, I don't want to play India in India. Oh, no, no, I don't want to miss the Ashes. No, no interest, no. I was very much in favour of playing the full IPL, missing some warm-up games, and also missing the early season, the first two test matches. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's New Zealand. They're the number one test team in the world. They should be playing. You should play your full test team. Well, New Zealand, you're not remembered at the end of your career playing New Zealand.
You would be if you played in the first World Test Championship against England.
But they're not. They're not because they haven't played their best team here and they're not going to qualify.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? And in hindsight, do you think England should have settled on having their best team available for the whole of this India tour and then review the situation for the coming months?
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, they talked about the World Cup on home soil was the ultimate, and we did the ultimate. We won that World Cup. I mean, it was brilliant. I was so proud. But after that, what did they say? Now we can concentrate on Test cricket and becoming number one ranked team in the world. They've totally gone off plan again. Owen Morgan now is getting the side he wants for every single one-day tournament, and he's playing the shots. He's making the shots. And unfortunately, as I said, if I were Joe Root, I'd be absolutely livid, but he has no say on which players. They could easily have said, listen, Joss, it's so big. It's so big, this India series. Can you stay for that and then go home and miss the T20s in India? We know you're a great 2020 player. We know you've been played 100. You nearly played whatever games he's played now. You're going to go to the IPL for 10 weeks and get more practice in T20. Correct. There's another series in the summer. Then there's some more series before the World Cup next year. You don't need to play in India in these T20s. Play in this test series. It's much more important. What? What's going on?
Okay. Yeah. No, I think we all support that view. I think that's a fair appraisal. Harmy, answer me a slightly different question. On selection. Do you think that England made their choices for this match based on the nighttime element of the game? In other words, the role of Seamers with the pink ball.
Yeah, I think they did that. There was a lot of hype going into this series about the selection, but the biggest talking point throughout the build-up to this was what was going to happen in Ahmedabad first test match. You know, do we leave Anderson out second test match to get him right and make sure he is there for that third test match? Is this the last time overseas we're going to see Broad and Anderson? So there was a lot of talk about the night time and the pink ball moving and all that. I just look at the selection from this test match, and actually the way it looks is, the way I've been picking things up, I don't think England had any choice. I think this is the side, only England side, that could pick.
Okay, thanks for stopping, Harmy. We've just had it in our ear that Joe Root is now with us. Joe, have you got me?
Yeah, I've got you.
Yeah, okay. Joe, an incredibly difficult, unusual, and in the end disappointing couple of days for you. Let's just start with your feelings now, your emotions.
Yeah, it's been an interesting game, hasn't it? I think a little bit frustrated we didn't make the most of the opportunity back in first, if I'm being brutally honest. You know, 70-odd. For two, looking at in hindsight now, you go and get 250, even 200, and the game looks completely different. It makes that second innings a completely different scenario. Pressure's very much on India, and you know, we find ourselves in a completely different position as we are right now. So that's probably the standout thing for me. Yeah, and you know, we just got to keep looking to get better. It was a tough week, but it's a week that shouldn't define us as a team. You know, we've got some fine players in this dressing room, some young guys that will have to learn quite quickly, and we've got to bounce back strong in this last game.
We've had a raging debate here in the commentary studio in London about the pitch. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it was an interesting surface. My reflection would be, I feel we've obviously been outplayed. There's no question about that. We've been outplayed by India, outskilled again this week. I think it's just a shame for the crowd, for the people coming to this ground, this wonderful venue. You know, they've not come to see me bowl and get five for. They've come to see the best be the best. But you know, that's something for I suppose for the ICC to look at. It's nothing to do with us. All I can say is that we've been outclassed, and we have to be better.
So you're not overcritical of the pitch?
It's irrelevant, really. Well, I think if I'm being brutally honest, all we've got to do as players is try and play on what's in front of us and try and try and beat India on any given surface. And unfortunately, we weren't good enough this week.
One thing that caught our eye so often in the match was how often the hard spinning ball led to batsmen being got out by balls that went relatively straight. Do you think that's a reflection on the impact of DRS on the game or on bad batting technique?
I think an element of it is actually the ball itself, the pink ball itself. It's got a very firm, hard, plasticky coat to it. Stays firm for longer and it seems to skip off the wicket a few miles quicker. And I almost think it's actually doing plays with pace. And it wasn't just us, it was both sides. And it's almost that it's not actually the line, it's more that the pace. And guys are probably ending up with their bat on line, but it's too late. And it's obviously, it's at the front pad before you know it. So I do think there's an element of the pink ball playing a factor in those dismissals.
Okay, thank you. Selection, we were surprised to see the three seamers plus Ben and not the second spinner. Is this because you just believe the seamers would do the job given the pink ball and the night matches and just got that wrong? Or is it because Dom is not in the best shape to play?
No, it's just, it was, as you mentioned, with the seamers there, it's a big strength of ours. We looked at how the ball had performed and moved around in practice, how it swung, it seemed. And, you know, probably, I definitely thought that pitch would hold together slightly better than it did, and that seam would play a bigger factor within the game. Fortunately, that wasn't the case. You know, I do think that was a very strong England side out there, but unfortunately, with the conditions materialising as they did, it didn't quite work in our favour.
So, looking at another game on this same square soon, you're quite comfortable with the idea of playing Dom?
Yeah, certainly. If he was in the squad for this game, he narrowly missed out, and he's a fine young player. He obviously would be disappointed of missing out in these previous two games, but you know, as we all know, it's in cricket things change very quickly. You get your opportunity, you go and take it. So if he gets that chance, I'm sure he'll be desperate to do just that.
Well, you got on the wrong end of the umpires a bit yesterday and obviously had your say last night, which was a good thing. And Javagar Srinath said that you handled it very well. It is frustrating, I know, when the 50-50s don't go your way. How do you work now with the team going forward? I mean, they've been two incredibly difficult test matches to have had such elation after test match one and two bad beatings in the next two. What happens in the days to come?
I think we just got to be as honest as we can be. As I've said before, weeks like this don't define us as a team. We don't become a bad team overnight. We've got some very good talented players that, you know, are going to do special things in an England shirt. And it's trying to, you know, really encourage that feeling of confidence in the group. It can be difficult if you've had a couple of tough dismissals and you're going to potentially face the same makeup of side. But that's part and parcel of the game. That's part of playing against. In a 4-5 match series, that's one of the things that you have to be able to handle as a player, and it's one of the things that you have to learn. And if we're going to get to be the best team in the world, it's something that we're going to have to overcome, and we shouldn't shy away from that. We shouldn't be afraid of that. We should embrace it, and we should use the hurt from this week and the previous game, take that forward into the final test match, and try and, you know, really put in a strong performance, because I don't think we've quite given ourselves a fair reflection of the talent in the room these last two games. But, you know, it has been very challenging, and guys have just got to keep looking to learn, keep finding ways of improving their own game and finding a way of scoring runs in these conditions.
Brilliant. Great answers. Thank you. You got 8 days, I think, so you might have one or two off just to chill, get away from it all. All right, Joe, we wish you well in the coming match, and we'll continue our debates here in the studio. Thanks very much for your time.
Cheers. Thank you. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, well, he's very honest, isn't he? Pretty straightforward. I mean, he wasn't prepared to go far on committing re the pitch. But in general, I think we sorted the question of, you know, he admits he got it wrong with how the pitch would play and therefore his selection. Anything come out of that, Butch, that you've picked up on?
Well, diplomacy, for a start. I mean, you have to be, as well as a great batsman and a tactician, you have to be diplomatic. I think reading between the lines there, the description of the surface being interesting told you all you needed to know. It was as far as he was able to go. And I thought he was very, very smart in terms of saying that he felt sorry for the crowd and the people who'd bought tickets and expected to see a game, and a lovely bit of humour as well, saying, you know, they haven't paid their money to come in and watch a bowler like me take 5 for 8. And you know, there again, without circling too far back, but I'm going to the surface, if Joe Root is taking 5 for 8 against India away from home in a test match on day 2, then, yeah, it's not great. It's not a great surface for me.
Just to pick up on that last point with him, sorry, Butch, but I just don't want to forget this. There's some action, apparently, in sort of partisan Indian groups on WhatsApp and people who understandably care for Indian cricket, that Kohli got sanctioned after the last test for taking up points with the umpire on the field. And why wouldn't Root be this test? I'm not sure that's relevant. Well, I suppose it's relevant, but isn't it pushing a point too hard? I don't think Root's overstepped the mark particularly, is he?
No, I don't think he did. I think what Root was asking was completely different to Virat. I think Virat was when he ran across the pitch, that was the surface he was going at, and then the umpire he was questioning the umpire's actual decision. Where I don't think Joe was questioning the decision of the umpire. He was just asking why the replays hadn't ran on, or why we hadn't had a second look at it or a closer look at it before the umpire made his final decision. But I think Virat was actually questioning the umpire why he didn't give it out, which would have been umpire's call, which actually would have, the decision would have gone in his favour. So I think there is a subtle difference between the two instances, between what Joe did and what Virat did.
Okay, thank you. Should England have a spin bowling coach, a spin batting coach with them, Kev? Do you think somebody who's an expert in spin who can help them, or is it too late just before a test match to be able to influence players' ability with spin?
We saw Jonathan Trott there. I know that Jacques Callis has been around. Graham Thorpe. There's Marcus Truscothick. There's a few around.
Yeah, there are.
There are a few around.
And I know the ECB are never going to employ Kevin Peterson, but if some of the England batsmen could get within earshot of some of the things he says, and I'm not blowing his tyres up, but I tell you what, it wouldn't be a bad conversation for somebody like Ollie Pope.
Some of it, not all of it. But definitely, it'd be someone to talk to. Kevin Peterson, the way he plays spin, the way he talks about it. I must admit, even listening this morning, I don't want this to sound like we're blowing off his tyres, but it did. I found myself leaving my earphones on and just listening to it, because it's something we've never been great at. We've had some players play it better than others. We've had some players who have found a way to play. And Butch, I see they were talking about, and he's played with him, Graham Thorpe. He found a way to play against spin. He got himself, he rotated the strike. He played ones and twos. He never looked for a boundary shot. If he did, it was a sweep shot, a square sweep shot. It would not, you know what I mean? That's the way Thorpe played. But we've got to find a way. And if the pitch is going to be like this come next week, England's game plans have got to be totally different to what they have been this last, what, 4 innings is it now? Where they've just looked like they're not going to get a run. Ashwin must be having every time. And Akshar Patel must think Test cricket's easy, because every time they rock up, they look like getting 5 for.
That, Mark, you had the conversation you had with Kevin about playing spin, and he's mentioned it in both the days that we've talked about, was that trip from Pakistan to the difference from Pakistan and then into India, where Kevin Peterson talked to Joe Root, to Johnny Bairstow, who were at opposite ends of their careers. Now, Joe Root is, we've talked about, he's one of the, he went into this series possibly being a better player of spin than anybody on the Indian side. So if you're looking for spin bowling coaches or mentors, the actual captain of England is not a bad bloke to talk to in the nets and talk about how to play spin, like you did talking about
I had a conversation with Rudy only a couple of weeks ago, and I just said, please make sure you are helping these guys and you're drilling the same stuff that we did. So that's why I don't think that the practice is an issue, because he would be doing. This guy, Joe Root, he's quality on the field and he's quality off the field.
Absolutely.
And he'll be trying his damnest hardest. Have I got that right? Probably wrong. He'll be trying his hardest to make his players better. And he has the response. This is extra responsibility now. I mean, it's not really his job, but he will take it on himself because of what he's like as a person to go and help these guys. And I know that because I had an exchange with him a couple of weeks ago, and he's doing that.
I think one of the problems he's got, Butch, so sorry, Butch, is but when he looks at his players and he looks around, Johnny Bairstow, like I said, I felt for him a little bit going into this test. He's not performed. He bagged a pair, didn't he? But he's, like I say, he's been at home for a few weeks, and that's part of the selection we were talking. But we already, before this test series, and one of the reasons they didn't pick them earlier, Dom Sibley and Zach Crawley, but they thought they were weaker against spin. I think that's been proven to be quite right. It's a difficult, especially when it's going like it's been doing the last two test matches.
It's tough.
Ollie Pope probably plays seam better than he does spin, and he's found it difficult. You can see the pressure on him now. He's coming in. You can see he wants to try to be positive, but his feet are glued. He's got no real technique to play against.
And these are youngsters, and you know what? They'll get a chance again. So this is actually a fabulous learning curve for them. Absolutely beautiful to be able to fail so spectacularly in a test match like this and want that will. And as a player, you'd think, I have to be on that next tour of India. Give me that next tour of India in 4 years' time because I want to succeed in India.
Yeah, I could not agree more with Kev on this point. We've had our differences in this conversation up until now, but that is entirely... I'm looking down the list here. Zach Crawley hasn't played 10 test matches yet. Dom Sibley is just over that now. Ollie Pope is very much in the infancy of his career. Johnny Bairstow, we know what the sort of character that Johnny is. He's relatively sensitive. He's not quite, he's somebody that wants to feel that he's loved and feel that he belongs in the side. I know that he wasn't all that happy about going home in the Sri Lanka leg, but the reasons for that are myriad and we won't bother going into them here. But I actually wouldn't have picked Johnny for this test match. I'd have kept Burnsy in the side and had Crawley come in at number three. For the simple reason that despite the fact that Burns has had his trouble, he made, 26 or something in the second innings on the Turner in Chennai. He's been here. He's been playing. He's been working on it. He's kind of slightly more in tune. Johnny comes in cold, literally, from walking on the moors with the dogs straight into this series. And we know what Johnny's like. His head gets full of bumblebees a little bit. And so I wouldn't have made as many changes to England's top order as England did in this test match. Would that have made any difference? Probably not. Probably not. But the point that Kev makes about the fact that these guys, most of them very much in the infancy of their test careers, most of them never having played cricket on the subcontinent before in test matches beyond the two test matches in Sri Lanka, which in terms of ferocity, in terms of quality and opposition, they might as well be in two different hemispheres, two different stratospheres to compare the two. These guys will come back better for it. And listen, England winning the first test match was a nightmare for England. As far as I'm concerned, because people were suddenly talking about, could they win three test matches and get themselves in the World Test Championship final? India had not lost more than three test matches in the previous decade at home. And two of those were to England, and Kev was playing in two of them. They lost twice in that series that Kev was playing in. They lost one on an absolute horror pitch in Pune, where Steve Smith played one of the greatest innings I've ever seen. And then they lost again at Chennai in a decade, four times. So this team, this England side, with all these youngsters in it and blokes who'd not played there before, no chance of winning a series down there. Let's get real. Let alone play brilliantly on surfaces we've seen in the last two test matches. So, that's where we are. And if they come back again, they will be better.
Okay. I got an interesting one for you now. The four of you are very different people. In amongst you are introverts and extroverts. You all have different skills, two bowlers, two batsmen, left-handers, right-handers, fast, swing, height.
Skinny, not fat. Such a,
all that.
Talking about pendant.
What happens? Let's give a feeling to the folk out there listening. What happens now? That dressing room is, frankly, we know what it's like, desolate. It's a terrible thing, losing big cricket matches, big occasions, not doing yourself justice. What happens? Do people spend time stuck in the room beating themselves up? Do the guys get together? The next 48 hours of their lives, how imperative is it for the management to get that right? And what exactly happens? Yeah, Steve, you were an introvert. Beat yourself up easily, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I think... we talk about this COVID world now, which makes this even harder because you can't get out. You know, what I would say, if we were out COVID, it would be senior players in the dressing room, stand up and be counted, go and get some of the younger players, make sure they're not dying in a hole, make sure that you're not just putting their arm random for their arm random's sake, but you know, give off positive mentality to get yourselves in a position to steer real. This COVID world now, the dudes just sit in the rooms. The dude just go back on the Xbox to do that. And that's what worries me even more, because if you start the tour poorly, there's a gradual sort of disintegration all the way through. And, you know, Butch is right. Winning the first test match, give them that little bit of lift. But you can just see slowly in their performance, they're just going lower and lower and lower in their shells. And that would concern me a little bit. It's gone are the days of, right, you know, during my time, it was like, Freddie, Harmy, go and get the lads. We'll go and potentially have a game of golf. We might have a meal, a couple of beers. Let's get together. You know, we'll pick the guy up who's, you know, he's having a struggle, Geraint Jones. You know, I remember in the Ashes 2005. Geraint Jones drops a couple of catches, getting a bit of sticks. Me and Andrew Flintoff took him to Belvedere Dogs for an evening, watching the greyhounds. You know, and to be fair,
10 pints.
Well, I was going to leave that out, but yeah, we had that.
Well, and that would have destroyed me. I'd never wanted to play again.
But Geraint Jones said afterwards, this is the best thing that happened, because I didn't just die in a hole in my room. I felt as though I could get away from the game and come back a little bit more clearer than what I was if I'd just sat for 5 hours staring at four walls thinking, what have I done? Have I dropped it? Mark Nicklaus is on Channel 5 telling me, you know, then this, not Michael Vaughan, but whoever was commentating. And then you go in the verdict with a TV, and then you listen to everything. So England have got to look after themselves, look after the players who are really struggling at this minute in time, and try and lift them and boost them, because when you are in a hole, it is a long, long way of digging yourself out of it.
Kev, that sounds an interesting appraisal. In your case, we talked in the dinner break about how you addressed the own fears you had about and concerns you had about playing a spin. There would be two things here for you, wouldn't there, as a senior player? So let's think of you as an established player now, one of the world's best. How would you have reacted to this defeat? What would have been your next move?
Next move would be thinking next test match, straight away. How do we improve and get better and make a better standing of ourselves in the next test match? Relating it back to my career in Ahmedabad, got out twice to Namanoja. I walked off the field, changed my shirt, went straight into the nets and batted for an hour and a half. It was about thinking about the next test match. Getting away from the game, I think, is incredibly tough right now. Right now, I don't know what. To answer your question at the start, I was going to say, depends where you are. Whether you're in Barbados, whether you're in Sydney, if you're in Cape Town, it's completely different to being in some of the other places in the world.
You're in a bubble.
But now, you're in India, you're in a bubble. If you were in Cape Town, you would be in a bubble. Sydney, you'd be in a bubble. So it is very different. And I don't know what the environment is like and how you break that cycle and whether it is too much. Because I know, I mean, you only have to look at all our mobile phones. We're on our mobile phones all day, every day. We can't get on the golf course. We can't go to the Dogs. We can't go and watch things that we want to go. We can't go to the theater. We can't go for anything. We can't do anything. And these guys are right in the middle of it. There'll be journalists that stay in the same hotel. You all know what a journalist has written. It's hard to stay off social media. There'll be players deleting Twitter, deleting Instagram, coming back when they score another 100. Those are some of the battles that I had as a player. Goodness, you start failing. Twitter, delete. Delete the app off your phone. Gone. Get a couple of hundreds. That blue thing turns back up on your phone. But these are the battles. It's a tough place.
I've always said about social media, I think, I know people do it for their profiles and everything. I think if you're a current professional sportsman in any sport, I think it's very difficult if you spend a lot of your time on social media, whether it be Twitter or Instagram, because every individual is different. Everybody thinks just because somebody comes across as a confident person in life, what they judge you as. When you go back to your room after you've had a bad day, and all them things that Kev talked about enter your mind, did I do things right? Did I play a bad shot? Did I not? Could I have bowled better? I bowled too many no balls. I made too many half volleys. I didn't get my tactics right on this pitch. And it plays with your mind.
Absolutely.
And if you go onto social media, that feeds it, that feeds that anxiety, and it makes it even worse for you to recover from. Mm. And a lot of sportsmen I've seen are talking now about the abuse you get on social media. We're not going to stop it unless people, like I said, we've talked about this in deeper debates, where you start to have responsibility for what you do tweet. And until that happens, there's always going to be that danger to the professional athlete out there. Now, I'm the same. I came across as a very confident cricketer, which I was, right? There's no doubt about it on the surface. But when I had a bad day, I used to go back to my room. Sometimes I was like beside myself. I didn't know I'd had a bad day. What are they going to write about me? What does people who have relied on me to do well? But the way I did it, and I joke about it now when I've done present caps, I used to write things down me a lot. I did a lot of writing. And then I used to read it, and then I'd rip it up. But then I used to go down to the bar, and I would joke about it, like I say, and have a pint. And it always made me feel better talking to other people within my team. But at this bubble life now, they have these team rooms, they're allowed in it. They've got pool tables now, they've got dart boards, they've got table tennis. And I've been part of the England team over the last 18 months on a coaching capacity. They have these nights now where they have quiz nights, and they do lots of funny things in there, which are absolutely brilliant. I've been part of it. They're hilarious to be a part of. They'll have a group there who are going to organise all those sort of things. But the first thing I'd do if I was a player, and I think every player will, is analyse their own performance tonight. Where could they improve in the positions? Ollie Port will be in his room tonight. He's only young, but he knows what life is now like as a test cricketer. He knows what life's like as a professional cricketer. He'd be sat in his room analysing how he got out both innings. Whether it be his technique, he's stuck on the crease. Whether it be his bat position. Whether it be he's got to find a different way to play against Ashwin because he keeps getting bowled off stump. But then tomorrow it'll be the team that analyse the team performance with Joe Root. And then you forget it. It's about preparation for the next test match. Simple.
Butch, you... mixed. I mean, we've talked a lot about your hopes and fears and how they collided so often.
I think a night like tonight, I wouldn't have given today a second thought. I think if things were normal and you're on a tour and you've just been, you know, you've just had, maybe you've bagged a pair like Johnny did in this game or whatever, I probably wouldn't have given it a second thought tonight. And maybe not knowing that you've got 6 days between now and the next one, probably not the second night either. But then, you know, once the dust has cleared, sort of shame and you know, being embarrassed at your performance is quite a strong driver for me. And so you'd kind of, you know, you'd maybe have a sulk, you maybe go out and have a couple of beers with Goffey or Steve or whatever and let your hair down for a couple of nights just to not think about it. And then when the reflection starts, it's okay, I do not want to feel like this again. So it's get yourself into the nets, get yourself with Thorpe or Trott or whatever it is, and work out a way of being able to get beyond the first 25, 30 balls, which is a great cliche, but most cliches are cliches because they're true, and then find a way of being able to rotate strike. Find a way of being able to put some pressure back onto the bowlers. Find a way of turning yourself out of being a sitting target. And from what I've, you know, from what I've watched in terms of the way that England have played on these two surfaces, the one thing that I reckon that none of them have attempted to do is to do something that Pujara might do, or even Ashwin did, making that 100 in Chennai, which was actually just think about leaving the crease every once in a while, not to hit it for six, but to try and make sure that you get to the ball so that you're much, much closer to the ball. You can run down and kick it as long as you get yourself, you know, close enough to it. And in that way, try to get yourself the odd short ball. Because from what I've watched is if all the while that these guys have played from the crease, even the taller ones have got bigger reaches, if you're not going anywhere and the sweep shot is fraught with danger, then you've got nowhere to go. You're waiting for them to bowl you a bad ball. And on the surface that we've just seen, with a margin for error for a spin bowler of about 2 metres, a bad ball isn't even a bad ball on this. It'll rag and turn or whatever. So you have to find something in order to give yourself a little bit of a buffer to be able to get up the other end. Best place to play bowling is from the other end quite often, and then be able to kind of work out a way of getting yourself to 10 to 20. Because when you get there, I've watched guys like Kev play the great innings you do. Once you get there and get in, suddenly the ball seems to be like a magnet to the middle of the bat. Think about the way Joe Root played in those first three test matches. He couldn't miss once he got himself in. And so that would be that, you know. Forget it, then think about it, then do something
and solve it. Very good. Thank you, all of you. Very good. Love it. We've heard from the England captain, understandably down. I reckon the Indian captain will be up. Let's find out, because straight after the match at the presentation, Virat Kohli was with Murali Kartik.
Virat, sometimes they say a quick game is a good game, but it's gone down the right side for you, just coming back after losing the toss so strongly.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I don't think... yeah, the result went our way, but I don't think the quality of batting was at all, you know, up to standard from both teams, to be very honest. I know they got bundled out early, but even with our innings, we were 100 for 3, hoping to, you know, make many more than we ended up with. Yeah, just lack of application on both sides. There was literally, I mean, very, very good pitch to bat on, especially in the first innings. We just felt like the ball was coming on nicely, odd ball turning, but... yeah, it was just, I would say below par batting from both teams. Our bowlers were much more effective, and that's why we got the result.
Yeah, actually, just before this presentation, I had a brief chat with Ashwin, and he echoed the same sentiments. He said that batting was possibly below par. Everyone would say 30 wickets, the same question I asked Joe. But 21 were two straight deliveries.
Exactly. It was bizarre that out of the 30 wickets, 21 were off straight balls. And that's just, I feel that's just lapse of concentration or indecision or too many things going on in your head as a batter where you're playing for the turn but you're getting beaten on the inside. I honestly feel like batsmen need to trust their defense much more than they are presenting at the moment. And test cricket is all about that. You're not going to get results in 2 days all the time. And this was a classic example of, you know, batsmen not applying themselves enough maybe. And yeah, that's why such a quick game.
Were you joking around with the fast bowlers in the second innings? That why did I even pick you? Both Jasprit Bumrah and Ishan Sharma just made the numbers, isn't it?
Well, Bumrah said that I'm getting workload management while playing the game. and Ishi said it's my 100th game and I'm not getting to bowl. I said you have to blame this guy who's just coming in and bowling in areas that's making life so much more difficult for the batters. And yeah, I think the spinners were outstanding in this game and there was just no room for anyone else to do anything. The game was so fast and it happened all so quickly that it was just not possible to bring anyone into the game.
You have to add Washington Sundar to that as well, to that list as well, because he was looking for a bowl.
Eventually, yeah, he was very happy. He got to bowl 3 balls in the whole game. Didn't bowl in the first innings. Poor guy didn't get any with the bat as well. So, yeah, look, a lot of guys didn't get into the game. And it's just a bizarre game. I don't think I've ever been a part of such a test match where things have happened so quickly and, you know, it's just moved on so quickly and we wrap it up within 2 days. I've never experienced this.
Yeah, it was thriller minute. And sometimes when you look back at it, you have somebody like Akshar Patel now coming in, literally stamping his authority in test match cricket. Ravindra Jadeja, Washington Sundar, who has done well for you. As a leader of the pack, it must be a great problem to have.
Well, it's amazing. I'm sure a lot of people, when Jaddu got injured, would have been relieved. But then this guy comes in, rolls probably faster than Jaddu, you know, from a greater height. Look, I don't know what's the case with Gujaratis and left-arm spinning all-rounders. They seem to be a nightmare for the batters. I think he bowled amazingly well, Akshar. And it's testimony to his hard work, his accuracy. That's exactly why we picked him. It's impossible to sweep him. It's impossible to defend him all day. And if the wicket gives him anything, he's just a very lethal bowler. Along with Jaddu, Ash, these guys have been doing it for years. Washi has played test cricket, but for Akshar to come in and bowl like this is outstanding.
In the rich tradition of Indian spin bowling, you add one more list. 400 man, Ravichandran Ashwin, he's been outstanding. 77 test matches. That's bizarre and mind-boggling.
I think we all need to stand up and take notice of what Ashwin has contributed to Indian cricket, and we should all be very proud of it. I told him from now on, I'm going to call you Ledge. 400 is an outstanding achievement, and still so many games, so many years to go for India. And I think in test match cricket, he's surely a modern day legend, and we're just lucky to have him in our team. And you know, his skill sets and how he applies himself and you know, makes those breakthrough performances for the team every now and then. And as a captain, I'm so pleased that he plays for us.
Is it 3 days to cool your heels, or for the batsmen who didn't apply themselves, there's some naughty boy nets?
The heels are not warm at all, to be honest. Especially for the batters, it was a game of quick fire runs, you know, quick wickets. But we have to be ready for the hard grind. We are going to prepare ourselves for the hard grind. We are a team that takes pride in winning games of cricket in 4 or 5 days. We're ready for that hard work, and if the conditions are so that we have to go the distance, we are going to absolutely be ready for it. But yeah, a few days extra off with a hectic schedule obviously feels nice.
Well, unsurprisingly buoyant, Virat Kohli. Very interesting. No mention, really, of the pitch. In fact, he said it was quite nice to bat on the first day with the odd ball spinning, but in general, it came onto the bat.
Yeah, and I mean, he was playing that well until he got out. Him and Rohit Sharma were building a partnership, and they were able to play that way. The spinners, I think it would have been maybe a little bit more of a different story if he had played against Akshar and he had played against Ravi Chandran Ashwin.
Well, but that's surely the point.
But he wasn't.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that is surely the point, Kev. I mean, the difference that, with respect, the difference,
yeah, the difference
in the quality.
The difference in the quality of spinners is monumental. Yeah, it's as big as it gets. And in England, back three fast bowlers.
And the only time it wasn't was when England beat India, because they had Swan and Panesar, who bowled absolutely sensational.
So for me, that comes down to the pitch. You know, England had bowled India out for 145 with Leach and Root on first innings in Day 1. I've got the scorecard here from the first Test match, right? In this Test match, 30 wickets in 140 overs. Ben Stokes was out in the 126th over, which was the fourth wicket in the first Test match, the first innings of the first Test match. You know, I talked about that being a decent batting track. For me, if they talk about the spinners being non-comparison by both sides, that tells me the pitch is not good enough when England are bowling India out for 145 in the first day of a Test match with Jack Leach and Joe Root. I'm sorry, it's just... That for me ends the argument. From say it was a good pitch to bat on day one, the Test match only lasted day and two sessions.
Well, batting under lights seemed to be a lot easier, but we only saw it for one night. And Kohli and Rohit Sharma were playing so well, weren't they? Under the lights, it looked to be a little bit easier. But we never get to saw England seamers bowling under the lights really, except for one day. So Joe Root will go away from this game, and he'll be sat there thinking, I picked four seamers. I've got four seamers in my 11, and I've ended up getting 5 for 8. I mean, it is unbelievable. And Joe will have a chuckle about it. There's no doubt with his mates tonight on WhatsApp. His mates will be texting him and things, and they'll not believe he's got. He'll not believe it, Joe himself. He's not a bad bowler. Kevin used to bowl a little bit of off spin. When I first played against him, that's what he was. He was an off spinner who batted 10.
It's funny.
You'd have been happy 5 for 8, wouldn't you? 6 overs against India.
Absolutely. Yeah, you take that all day long. And I just think that the way that Joe's conducted himself off the field, the way that he's conducted himself on the field, class act. Class act. He spoke so, so well there. Virat, again, I mean, Virat came under pressure as well because of what Ajinkya Rahane did in Australia. There was a lot of people talking about whether Ajinkya Rahane should continue the captaincy. So you can hear in Virat's tone there and the way that he's talking there now about himself and his players that he's just so happy that they 2-1 in front.
Well, they won't make any changes, I wouldn't think.
Well, Rahane's not getting any runs. And
no, but why would you change that now?
Well, they won't, will they? They'll keep this same team, but they've got Agarwal. If Shubman Gill would have got dismissed, he might have come in for him. You've got Rahul in the background. They've got some good players, but they won't make any changes. You're right.
They have. They could put a second team on the park, Kev, couldn't they, that has high quality in it?
I got some quality players. They really do. You are. Rahul, I mean, how he doesn't make this team.
Amazing player.
Good little confidence booster for Gill, though.
I think he's their best young player. Yeah. Said it for a couple of years now. Saw him play for KKR two seasons ago, as an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old. And I just thought to myself, and actually I tweeted, I said, this guy is a star. Just the time he's got.
He's still got to perform, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to perform. That shot that he played first ball after dinner this evening. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, beauty.
That was as good as Crawley's yesterday.
Another good one, a bit older, but Suryakumar Yadav, very good player too, isn't he?
They've got some fabulous players. Sanju Samson, another one.
Yeah, the left-handed DDV, we called him.
Divdat Padikkal.
Yeah,
nice
DDP.
And then quick bowlers, plenty of those, probably as many as 8 or 9.
Siraj, Khalil, Natarajan,
Umesh
Yadav.
Yeah. They're all thinking about bowling off spin now, though, aren't they? I mean, What's the point? This was the beauty of it. You know, this is the thing about Indian cricket. And one of the things that kind of disappoints me more than anything on this is that Indian cricket, they've won in Australia, right? They have incredible resources in terms of their fast bowlers. They're always going to have three or four excellent spin bowlers. But for some reason, against England of all teams, they've decided to play on these absolute. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to call them what I would call them in my head. But they're playing on these pitches that nullify all of the great work that they've done bringing on all these great quicks. You know, the reason they're able to go down and win in Australia is because they're not one-dimensional. They don't just rely on Ashwin taking wickets or the left-arm spinners ripping people out. They don't have to rely on that. They can play cricket anywhere. They can come over to England and beat us in English conditions. They can beat Australia in Australian conditions. They've done it twice in a row. How many countries have been to Australia twice in a row and won? And yet, we're watching games over in 2 days from a team that is far, far better than having to play England in these conditions.
The more one thinks about it, given the money, richest in the world, given the power, given the competitions, given the success of the IPL, given the attention they've paid to Test match cricket of late, India have played a lot of Test matches over the last couple of years. They can't be criticised of not showing pastoral care for the game of Test match cricket. You would say going forward they're going to be a very hard powerhouse to resist. If anything, they're going to get better as more young players emerge through a pathway that suits the modern cricketer very well. There's money to be made and there's fame to be had.
Absolutely. The only issue is there's more money to be made and that you can become more famous by playing in the IPL.
Well, but you won't get what you get here.
But what we do need for Test match cricket is guys like Virat Kohli and the Indian team talking about how amazing it is to play Test match cricket and setting that example. And I know Virat does. I know Virat really well. He's one of my close friends.
He
cares for Test match cricket. He absolutely loves it. He idolizes it. And he still knows he's from that previous generation of player that believes that the test match cricket defines you as a player. There's a lot of the youngsters, Rishad Pant, a couple of them, they're the IPL guys. They're the short form guys. But we've still got at least Virat Kohli, who captains India, who loves test cricket.
Right, we're running out of time. We've got just a couple of minutes. I just quickly, please, four of you, turn your attention to England's possibilities going forward. Can England win the next test? Can they level this series? Is it in the mentally, physically?
On a wicket like that, yes. On a better wicket, no.
Unless they bat first and go big, like they did in the first Chennai test. No?
Well, no? Okay. I don't know on any wicket. If we play on a wicket like the first test, where it's absolutely flat for 2 days, and we win the toss and bat, we've got players on flat pitches that can get runs, right? We proved that in the first test. We got 600. That's the only chance we have of winning. If we play on a pitch like we've just had and like we saw in Chennai in a second, no matter whether we bat first or second, we ain't getting runs against Ashwin and Patel.
And I don't think there's a flat wicket next week.
No, I don't think there is. And I think my concern for this side is that they've shown in more than glimpses over the course of this winter that they're a good side. They've got the tools to beat India and Sri Lanka when they played Sri Lanka, even though it was a poor Sri Lankan side. But my worry in this side is in bubble life and the way things go and the way the game gobbles up and gets you, once a team's got on top of you, then they've really got your throat. And I think India will not make the mistake that England did in the first test match and go for the jugular. And I think I worry where some of the mindsets are of these young England players that we've talked about.
I think as things stand at the moment, India in the World Test Championship final, right? 2-1. That's all they need. I think I would be absolutely staggered if they gamble on playing on another raging Bunsen like this, because you can come unstuck. You're giving a team that is inferior to you a chance, half a chance.
Correct.
I reckon it'll be rolled snot. The last Test match, and there will be.
What does that mean? It means a flatter pitch.
It means flat. It will barely do anything, and there will be a lot of runs scored by both teams. India will hedge their way. Draw's fine for them, and they'll probably beat England if they get the chance to bat first.
That's quickly what I think. If it's a draw, do Australia qualify?
Yeah, Australia qualify if it's 2-2.
If it's
2-2, England have to win the Test match to send Australia through. A draw is good enough for India.
So it's a huge game for India.
Draw does does the trick
India,
for them.
India will just want to win the next test match and they'll prepare a wicket like they've just done and they had last week.
I'm with my man because I think that's where Virat Kohli sees the game of cricket.
Absolutely.
So you think it is, on that basis, Kev, you think it's a match England could win because the pitch will be like this one?
That's why I said if they prepare another wicket, they can win. But I think, and like I said a couple of minutes ago, I don't think you're going to get a flat track.
Right. Okay. I'm with you now. My thanks to Jared Kimber, who sat quietly there typing away, to Neil Manthorpe, also patient, done a fantastic job. Thanks to all the team behind the scenes who have worked on this test match. We're terribly disappointed it's over, actually. It's a great privilege to do this job. We've all had such fun in this room, and we'd love a few more days cricket. It isn't to be. It's another, 8 days or so before we reconvene. Kev won't be with us. We wish him well on his return to... Well, it won't be whites, but it'll be playing colours in a tournament in India. And so to Steve, to Goffey, to KP and to Butch, thank you as well. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. The news is that the second test match, or the third test match, I should say, is over. There's a second test to come here in Ahmedabad, and it's over in startling circumstances because today India were bowled out for 145 in reply to England's 112. That was a lead of 33. England then made 81 and lost the match by 10 wickets. A resounding victory for India, who we have to say deserved it. The big question is, do England have the character to fight back? More soon. For the moment, from all of us here in London, it is. We say goodbye.
Leach is in once more. That has hit pad first. And up goes the finger. Jack Leach has broken through.
A fantastic bit of bowling by Jack Leach.
Beats him straight away. Folks thinks he's got him. Root thinks he's got him. And the finger's gone up. Golden arm has worked for Joe Root.
Extraordinary. Rishabh Pant never did get to tuck that shirt in.
Root again. And he bowled him. Washington Sundar is beaten by a beauty. Joe Root is the man this morning. Down comes Akshar. Drives. He's caught at short extra cover. Oh, Joe Root, what are you doing?
A huge wicket, Mark, huge.
Here's Root.
Oh, top edge sweep, it's gone up into the air. Does Joe Root have a fourth wicket underneath it? Is Zach Crawley who takes the catch? Extraordinary stuff.
Six wickets for 35, India, at home in India.
Root to Jasprit Bumrah. Gets across,
he stumps, it's hit him on the back leg and the finger has gone up. Joe Root, 6.2 overs, three maidens, five for eight.
He's going to not have the relative comfort of Seamus. Bowled him! First delivery! England and North for one, first ball.
Boy, listen to that crowd.
Here is Axar on a hat-trick. Johnny Bairstow sprays a slot sweep. He's done LBW! Axar Patel has a hat-trick. Missing! Oh, he's bouncing over the top.
Here's Akshar Patel, bowls.
Johnny Bairstow, he's bowled him!
All the gear and no idea. Johnny all over the shop. This is unbelievable cricket.
Akshar again, oh dear, that's out.
A strange shot, a very strange shot.
Here's Ashwin again. Stokes comes forward, struck on the pad. Massive appeal for leg before, up goes the finger. Here is Akshar again, another appeal for leg before wicket, up goes the finger. Joe Root's been given again.
56 for five, England. Really, really struggling here.
Particularly when you think you've got a chance for a wicket off. Oh, bowled him! That was a crackerjack delivery. Oh, that might be out too. Very full. And LBW, yes! Down he comes. Looks to drive over the top. Gets most of it. Gets plenty of it.
Never mind, that's gone. Anderson goes for the reverse sweep. And he's been given out. Well, that was an extraordinary end. A very low-key end to England's innings.
Root again, down the wicket goes Rohit Sharma, swings it high and wide over mid-wicket for six runs, and India have won this test match by 10 wickets.
Hi, Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.